I want to talk to you this morning about the heart of God. I want to talk to you about the heart of God, the Father's heart. You know, everything that we think when we look at the life of Jesus and what he did and everything, Jesus said, "He that has seen me has seen the Father." So everything that Jesus did was to demonstrate God's love for mankind. Not just dying on the cross, but everything that he did, all the miracles that he performed, was to reveal the heart of the Father. The very first miracle was, of course, you know, turning water into wine. That was not so much the miracle. The miracle was that he would come into a relationship that was threatened. Husband and wife relationship would have been threatened by both the in-laws when the wine had run out. So he had come to salvage the whole situation. That's how he began, that God comes to salvage, God comes to mend, God comes to heal. Come on, say amen, all right? This is the whole heart of God, always wanting to reach out to mankind, all right? That's the heart of God. So this morning, I want to go into one aspect of it in Luke chapter 18 and verse 1. Now remember, this is revealing the Father's heart. Now Jesus was telling the disciples a parable to make the point that at all times, everybody say all times.
All times.
you all sound like Leeds fans. You don't know what that means. It means they lost 4-0 to Arsenal. All right, let's go. At all times, they ought to pray and not give up and not lose heart. Here are a few thoughts that I want to share with you. Number one, the Father's pleasure. Luke chapter 12, verse 32. Do not fear, little flock, for it is your Father's, everybody read that, good pleasure to give you the kingdom. I'm going to say this, and because it's on YouTube, sometimes people can cut off a portion and say he's a heretic, he's teaching false doctrine. But let me say it one more time. I've said this many times to you. Jesus did not come to die for your sins. Very often we hear this. What did Jesus come to do? Oh, Jesus came to die for my sins. He came to forgive me of my sins. No. That's not why he came. He came so that you and I could be restored into fellowship with the Father. That we could become partakers of the kingdom of God. And in order to do that, we had to have our sins forgiven. And that's why he went to the cross. But the purpose was not the cross. The purpose was entrance into the kingdom of God, coming before the throne of God, being able to worship the God that desires our worship, the God who desires our fellowship. So he did not come to just die on the cross for us. And so we miss the whole purpose. That's why we don't camp or worship before the cross. We worship before the throne. Come on, amen. We come and we enter into his presence to worship him who sits upon the throne. You will never find a cross in heaven. But there will be one who will show you his nail-pierced hand. The only one who will bear scars for all eternity is Jesus Christ. All our scars will be gone. Isn't that nice? I got a big one here. It's going to go. There's only one who will have the scars forever, and that's Jesus. And he would say, this is why I did it for you, so that you can enjoy all of this. To illustrate that, we use the release of the people of Israel from Egypt. The purpose was not to deliver them. If the purpose was to deliver them, then take them out of Egypt. They are free. Bury all the enemy in the Red Sea and leave them. But that's not the purpose. The purpose was to bring them into the promised land. And in order to bring them into the promised land, he had to take them out of Egypt. In order to bring us into the kingdom, he has to take us out of sin, the kingdom of darkness into the kingdom of his dear son, out of darkness into light. That's the purpose, that's the goal of Jesus, to bring us back into fellowship. This is the heart of the Father. God so loved the world that he wanted to kill his son, put all our sins on him. No, that he sent his son to deliver us from the power, the penalty, the power of sin, even the presence of sin, that we might be able to enter into his presence and enjoy all that he wants to lavish us with. So it is the Father's pleasure, good pleasure, to give us the kingdom. New Living Translation. So don't be afraid, little flock, for it is your Father's great happiness. God finds tremendous happiness when we become partakers of his kingdom. But when we don't do that, and we just, if I were to ask Christians, many Christians, and ask them, why did Jesus come? Oh, he came to forgive me, die for my sins, forgive me of my sins. And that's where they camp. You are living in the wilderness when there is a promised land for you. What did God do for you, Israelites? He delivered us from Egypt. Isn't that wonderful? Yes, but what's happening now? I don't know. We're just going to walk around and walk around and walk around. When all God wanted to do was to take them out as quickly as possible and bring them into all that he had for them. But they delayed God. And we can cause our progress into the kingdom to be delayed because we don't understand that this is the reason why Jesus came. So the Bible says, you know, in the book of Hebrews, it talks about us through the blood of the Lamb come boldly into the throne of God. Now listen to me very carefully. There are two seats. We either come to the seat of mercy or we come and face the seat of judgment. I'd rather come to the seat of mercy. Come on, amen. Two thrones. The throne of mercy, throne of grace, and the throne of judgment where he sits as a judge. I'd rather come to the throne of grace. So the purpose, he said, let us come boldly because of what Jesus has done, the blood of the Lamb. Let us come boldly into his presence. And listen to me very carefully now. If I do not come boldly to the throne of grace as I ought to come, the cross is invalid. Whatever he did for me is invalid. Because the purpose was me standing before the throne, not me talking about a past act. I got saved December the 4th, 1971. He delivered me from sin. But what do I do from the time he has taken me out of Egypt, coming to the promised land? How am I going to act? How am I going to behave? Will I hasten the journey or will I delay him? It's up to us, isn't it? God didn't force them to do anything. He just told them, this is the possibility that you can enter into all that I have for you. Somebody say amen. You know, the story of the prodigal son. Someone wrote a book called The Prodigal Father. Because to be prodigal means to be extravagant, to be wasteful. And God has, quote unquote, wasted, so to speak, his blessings on all of us. Because what we do with the blessing, we don't even say thank you. We treat it like it's nothing. It's might as well take it and put it in a waste paper basket. He has extravagant. Isn't it wonderful that God gives us enough oxygen for everybody and more? Not that you have to wake up every morning and there's a quota. You breathe only. Hold on. Because that's how many Christians function in their Christian life. They come once a week, then they keep it in until next week. Keep in the Holy Ghost once a week. Some twice a year. Easter, Christmas. And that is the whole pleasure of God. His pleasure is to give us the kingdom. Psalm 84, verse 11. For the Lord God is a sun and shield. Say amen. The Lord bestows grace and favor and honor. Say amen. What's wrong with y'all today? Woke up on the wrong side of the bed. No good thing will he withhold to those who walk uprightly. He's not going to withhold anything. God is not a stingy God. It is your Father's good pleasure to give. God so loved, he gave. Paul writes and Paul says this, if he did not spare his own son, don't you think he would also give you all things freely in Christ? Don't you think so? So we've got to understand, we've got to have a bigger picture. Simply because the enemy has constricted the image of God, has made him look a mean God. That's what he did in the Garden of Eden. First thing he did was to make God seem like he's a bad, mean God, withholding things from you. Adam, don't you know that Adam and Eve, listen, God does not want you to be like him. He's holding back on you, man. And so that thought comes into mankind that God is always holding back something. I got to really press in. See, prayer is not to overcome God's reluctance. He wants you to pray, not to overcome God's reluctance, but to fall in line. So that when we pray, you will understand that this is a wonderful God. So when you are praying, I encourage you. We have prayer in the mornings and on Saturday mornings, and I speak to our pastors as well. One of the things is you need to have an understanding of the heart of God. That he is a good God. He is merciful. Do you know the Ark of the Covenant was such a powerful thing that God gave to the children of Israel? Two angels facing each other. What was in the middle? It was called the mercy seat, not the judgment seat. It was called the mercy seat. Everyone can come. And that's why when they went out to battle and they carried the ark, remember? They will all carry the ark and go forward. I'm preparing the Bible study on Joshua. And they will carry the ark and move. When you see the ark, put it at a distance so that everybody can see it. The ark will move. And what do they do when the ark starts to move? They sing the same song again and again. For his mercy endureth forever. That's what we are carrying. We are carrying the mercy of God. He is a merciful God. Come on, amen. If you forget the rest of the message, yes, that is good enough. But we need to understand the Father's pleasure. Then we also have the Father's plea. Jeremiah 33, verse 3. Some of us have memorized that. They say that's our phone call. Huh? Jeremiah 33, 3. Call to me. Come on, read it. Come on, man. Have some life. He came to give you life. Many of you don't have that life. Call to me and I will answer you. Isn't that wonderful? Great and inaccessible things. Mighty things, some of the translation says. Which you do not know. Call unto me. I was sharing with I think I did yesterday. I can't remember. The dates are all rolled into one. I think I was talking about Cornelius. Yeah, I think it was yesterday. I talked about Cornelius yesterday, all right. I was talking about Cornelius. Here is Cornelius who sees the Jews, how they are blessed, how they pray, how they commune with their God, and he likes what's happening. He's not a convert. He's not a Jew. But he likes this God. He begins to fear this God that they worship. And he starts to pray to this God. He's not a Jew. He's not a Christian. But he prays. And God sends an angel to him and says to him, your prayer has come up to me as a memorial. That's something. How much more those of you who have been bought by the blood of the Lamb? Don't you think God will hear you? If I give finances to a stranger, don't you think I would gladly give more to my own children? If I, being evil, know how to do good things, how much more your heavenly Father? That's the word of God. If I know how to give good gifts, how much more your heaven? And this is what God is saying. Why don't you call unto me? Why don't you, go seeking everybody else, trying out all, why don't you take some time and call to me? Let me show you how he really wants to answer our prayer. Isaiah 65, verse 24, Living Bible. I will answer them before they even call to me. While they are still talking to me about their needs, I will go ahead and answer their prayers. That's something. Some of you didn't know this existed in your Bible, huh? You know the Bibles you bought? I think some of you, the Bible's pages are still stuck. Still very new. You open. Okay, I'm going to say something. Listen to me very carefully now. Please, there is a big difference between the praying that the Bible talks about and being religiously praying. Because a lot of people, if you ask them, are you praying? Oh, yes, Pastor. Every day I say my prayers. Every day, Pastor, every day. Every day, Pastor, I say my prayers. I read the Bible. Every day. But no change. In the house, still fighting. Quarreling. Oh, tell me, my wife and I, we are both talking. How can people say that they have prayed and stand up? Hey, what you doing? How? John says, if you say you love God and stand up and hate somebody else, you're deceiving yourself. Come on, man. Never mind. Don't worry. Next week, somebody else will be preaching. But as the father of the house, listen, I'm not preaching so that you guys will like my message. That's not the purpose. I'm preaching because God wants you to hear something. I know people who are very religious. Every day they will say their prayers. There's a big difference between saying their prayers and really getting God and talking to God and having something happen. Come on. Oh yes, Pastor, every day I pray. Every day I read my Bible. Every day, Pastor. No fail, Pastor, before I get up. Every day, Pastor. Then why fighting? What? Okay. Ayo, kadavule, kadavule. Before they call, I will answer. That's why he's called the God who provides. The Lord, my provider. Two words. Pro is before. Vide is the word to see, where you get video. So before you saw your own need, I already saw. That is why people said, how come? I wonder. Somebody asked me the other day. I won't ask who, but I won't say who. But you know, when I answered Harish, he said, he's not here, okay? He said, Pastor, the wise men all came, gave Jesus gold and all the gifts. What did they do with the gold? Instead of saying, they gave gold, I shall better give gold. He's asking, what did they do with the gold? Well, in case you don't know, they needed that to run away to Egypt to live as refugees. The moment the wise men gave them everything, they took all of that. They went to Egypt and lived there for many years until the king died. Then Jesus came back. You don't know, huh? See, you never read Bible. Never read Bible, you know. Yo, Pastor, your finger's so long. Oh, Jesus. Before, they didn't even know that there would be refugees. And suddenly, these guys are outside their house, giving them what they really needed. So when God said, go, hey, thank God, man, all this is provided for. Come on, amen. He knows, man. He knows what's going to happen in your 2026. He knows. He's your Father, man. I'm just asking that, you know, the Holy Spirit would open your eyes to see the eyes of your spiritual man. What a good God we have. He's a God who's got eyes and sees. Then he says, not like the gods of the world who've got eyes, but they do not see. Ears they have, but they do not hear. Hands they have, but they do not handle. Feet they have, but they do not walk. Mouth they have, but they do not speak. Our God is the exact opposite of everything that David declares in Psalm 115. Come on. Amen. Okay. Delight yourself, Psalm 37, verse 4. Delight yourself in the Lord. Get happy with God. Come on. I cannot understand how some people can be bored with reading the word and praying. Because in his presence there is fullness of joy. You find so much joy with friends and enjoy, huh? Why can't you enjoy God? He's the most wonderful person to be with. When you really desire him, he will make himself real. I will make my abode with you. You just open the door of your heart. I will come in, man, and we can fellowship together. And the joy of the Lord becomes my strength. It's his joy that he wants to give to us. Delight yourself. He will give you the desires of your heart. See, when I delight myself in the Lord, my desires become purified. So whatever I desire will be desires that he places inside of me. And he will give me the desires of my heart. Number three. I've only got 7 points, so hold on. The Father's premise. What is the premise based upon? All that he has told us, what is it based upon? See, in James chapter 4 in verse 2, James says, you do not have because you do not ask. Simple. The reason you don't have is because you are not asking like you should ask. Jesus says, until now, speaking to the disciples, you have asked nothing in my name. Ask that you might receive, that your joy might be full. Come on, amen. Oh, it's wonderful to know when God answers your prayer, your joy can be full. Joy can be full. Here are three things based on this premise of God. First, there has to be a consistency. You must be consistent. Jesus told them a story showing that it was necessary for them to pray constantly. Consistently. All the time. That all times, anywhere, you can pray. Keep seeking God at all times. Why do I keep mentioning this? Because you are not supposed to walk in lack. We're supposed to have more than enough, so that you don't have to be a borrower. You can be a lender. You cannot be a lender if you do not have enough for yourself. God always comes to give us abundance. This is his plan. He likes his children to prosper and be in health, even as their souls begin to prosper. Come on, amen. Right? So he says, now you have to be very consistent with your prayer life. You have to be very consistent. Next thing is, you have to be very persistent. James 18 verse 1. He used this illustration from God's Word translation. He used this illustration with his disciples to show them that they need to pray at all times and never give up. Don't give up. Don't give in to your feelings. Oh yeah, I pray, nothing happened. I don't feel. What's the point praying? I don't feel. Don't give in to that kind of a spirit. That's a spirit of discouragement. That is not the voice of God. God's voice is, whether you feel like it or you don't feel like it, keep clinging on, man. I like the early Methodists. The early Methodists used to pray and they would call it getting a hold of God. They would get a hold of God. The early Methodists. I don't know about now, huh? I'm just talking. getting a hold of God. God, we will not let you go. We will pray. We will keep seeking you day after day, God. David said, what? My tears have been my food day and night. I keep crying out, God. I keep crying. No wonder he was a man after God's own heart. No wonder, because of him, it says, you know, his kingdom shall never end. And the Messiah shall come from his line. Day and night, Lord, I keep crying out to you. If prayer works, why don't you do it? Do it. Luke 11, verse 9 and 10, Amplified Bible. We all know this scripture. So I say to you, come on, ask and keep on asking, and it will be given to you. Seek, keep on seeking, and you will find. Knock and keep on knocking, and the door will be opened to you for everyone. This is in the Amplified Bible. Who keeps on asking persistently receives. He who keeps on seeking persistently finds. And to him who keeps on knocking persistently, the door will be open. This is not what I'm saying. This is what Jesus is saying. You see, I love the Bible. I live by the Bible, literally. I live by it because this causes me to pray effectively. You must read the Word. You must. And I bring this before God and I say, God, you said if I ask you, if I keep on, I've been asking for so long, so many years I've been asking for this. God, you said, if I keep on asking persistently, I keep asking, Lord. I keep seeking, I keep knocking at your door. God, you must open it. In our prayer meeting, in the morning, 8 o'clock, 9 o'clock, that's what we were praying for. That's what the Spirit put in my heart. You got to keep on praying, got to keep on asking until. Wait in the city of Jerusalem until. Keep on and on and on, until you see the answer, because he's the God who hears and answers prayer. You got to be consistent, persistent, and you've got to be insistent. In other words, when you bring something before the Lord, says, this is what, listen, chapter 18, verse 2 and 3. In a certain city, there was a certain judge who did not fear God, no respect for men, and there was a desperate widow, a certain widow as well, in that city, and she kept coming to him and saying, give me justice and legal protection from my enemy. That is what she was praying for. What are you praying for? What are you praying for? Be insistent with God. God, this is what I am praying for. Don't give up on that one thing. This is something that must sink into your heart. You must have this one thing have I desired, that will I seek after. Oh, God, bless me. How to bless you? I want this, I want that, I want this, I want that. Be very specific. This is what I want, God. That's why the morning prayer is not for, you know, that we're not praying that God bring healing to you. And wonderful, we can pray services, we can pray at other prayer meetings, we can pray in the cell group. Please attend a cell group, that's where they pray for you. But when it's, this morning, Saturday morning, is God give us souls. That's the only thing. Insisting that God, we come together for the salvation of our loved ones, our friends. We don't want to see any of them perish, but that all come to repentance. We keep praying for that one thing. And God will give us households. Amen. Be consistent, persistent, and be insistent. So James 4:2, you want what you don't have, so you kill to get it. You long for what others have, and you can't afford it. So you start to fight to take it away from them. And yet the reason you don't have what you want is that you don't ask God for it. The reason you don't have is because you don't ask God for it. That's why I shared, you know, I mentioned this in the last preaching. If Jesus came to die for our sins and pay a terrible price, we will be partaking of communion so that we can just continue to live the kind of lives we are living. I think that was a wasted sacrifice. I don't think that's what he intended. To just come and make sure our sins are forgiven, then you live any way you want to live. You don't go to the source of that love that sent me to the earth. The source is God Himself. So lastly, amen, the Father's problem. Luke 18, verse 8, second portion. However, when the Son of Man comes, will He find this kind of persistent faith on the earth? When the Son of Man comes, will Jesus find persistent faith when He comes? What will He find in me? Will He find a frightened me, fearful me? Will He find a fearful church, a frivolous church, a feasting church, everything else except a faith-filled church? Will He find this kind of faith? That's why, you know, He narrowed it down by saying, if two or three of you can agree as touching anything, it shall be done. He didn't say 200, 300, 2,000, 3,000, two of you. Will He find this kind of persistent faith? I shared with the Tamil section the other day when I was preaching to them. I said, this is a fact. A lot of Christians, when we have Sunday service, everybody will come, which is wonderful, so that you can hear the Word of God. If we have a worship conference, it'll be packed out. We'll have the lights, we'll have the music, we'll have good teams coming to worship. But when you have a prayer meeting, how many will come? A lot of praises are not prayers. They will sing, but they will not bring supplication before the Lord. They will praise Him, but they will forget about Him when they go back home. Worship is reduced to singing when that's not the intention of God. Worship is a lifestyle given over to God. Can I hear an amen? Think about this. You will praise, but we will not pray. And yet, it is the prayer, Jesus said, that men ought always to pray. So the disciples cry out to Him and said, Lord, teach us to pray. Not teach us the formula to get answers from heaven, but teach us to do it. Teach us to pray. Instill into us the spirit of prayer. This is the year of increase. Expect. The only way we can expect is, will He find persistent faith when He comes? So the Lord wants to come. I'm not talking about the second coming of Jesus. I'm talking about Him coming into our services, talking about Him coming into your homes, coming into your businesses. If He can find persistent faith, He will come. He will walk into your homes. He will walk into your marriages. He will walk into your businesses. If He can find this insistent, persistent faith, God, I will not let you go until you bless me. I will not let you go. Bless me, O God. And the sign of the blessing was the man walked funny after that. Thigh was dislocated, and he had a funny walk from that time onwards. And every time you saw Jacob walking, you would say, that man walked with God, wrestled with God. That's the sign. That's not a sign of weakness. That's a sign of strength. That's a sign of strength. Your walk will be different when you grab a hold of God and say, I will not let you go. Can I hear an amen? Stand. We're going to partake of communion in just a while. Thank you, Lord.